My goal, which is to finish the book of Hosea before the end of the year. So Hosea chapter 5. I'll tell you what's hard about Hosea. It's not understanding it. It's applying it. Understanding it's not hard at all. Applying it is what's hard. When I say that the Bible has application, for some of the younger people, that might go over your head. What do I mean by that? There are lessons in the Bible that we can learn. Some of them are lessons of things that we ought to do, and some are lessons of things that we should not do. Do you remember when you were in school and you found out that one of the people that had been bad got called to the principal's office? And you thought to yourself, good, this is being dealt with. They deserve it. You ever been called to the principal's office? All right, I got to ask a question here. How many of you ever got swats in the principal's office? Mr. Gonzalez, what did you do?
Throwing rocks.
Oh, I got in bad trouble throwing rocks when I was a kid. I threw a rock one time and I hit a kid right here. And I could throw a rock. Don't be throwing rocks, guys. So I'm sitting in the house one night watching TV and the doorbell rings. Ding dong. Wonder who that could be. It was his dad. And he wanted to talk to my dad. I wished I could have crawled into the carpet and just kind of disappeared. Did you throw that rock? Yes. At the time I threw it, I was pretty proud of it, but that changed awfully quick, didn't it? Isn't it funny how when you're in trouble, you wish you hadn't have done it? Amen? Well, okay, here we go. Israel's in trouble. But there's something worse. They don't really care. What do you do with somebody that does wicked things and just doesn't care? That's not good, is it? Brother Mark's got some ideas back there, but we'll save them for later. That's one way to do it. Amen. This is worse than that, though. It wasn't just that they didn't believe. It's they're worshiping idols, and God has punished them, and they refuse to repent. Now, here's the thing. God knows how to get our attention. If you don't think so, let's go ahead and see who's right. I guarantee you, God knows how to get our attention. Amen? And it's a good thing, by the way, for God to get our attention. So let's look at some things here in Hosea chapter 5. I can't be terribly long, but I want to just show you a couple of things. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read down through the end of verse 7. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel. And give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor." I'll explain that in a minute. "And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for each one here. God, help us just to see a few things this evening that would make help us and be some applicable in our lives and maybe help some other folks that we might come in contact with. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Throughout the years, I've had a lot of opportunities to work with children. I'm still on the distribution list in Maryland, so when they send email to everybody on staff, I get a copy. That's kind of fun. So today, there was an email floating around that a parent had sent where they were talking about how the teacher had helped their child and been a blessing to their child, and that was encouraging. And then a man who I remember visiting him in his home, Scott Milner is his name, is now, I guess he's the school administrator or pretty close to it, and he was just a church member when we were there. He wasn't serving in the school at that time, but he works with finances and such. And so anyway, long story short, they're sending these emails around talking about these children, and you like to see the success stories with children to where they change. Amen?
Amen.
God wants to change us. We have a natural direction that our flesh would like for us to go. The things that the flesh enjoys, the things the world has to offer, the things that what does the world offer for comfort? Usually sin, right? But you know, the interesting thing is, when you sin to be comfortable, it doesn't work. And when you're a Christian, you sin to be comfortable, it really doesn't work. But when you walk with the Lord, God can give you comfort. So anyway, working with children, sometimes you'll find a child that just has such a hard head, they will not change. We had a young man long time ago. His name was David Norris, for those of you that know who I'm talking about. And when he was in the second grade, I think it was, the teacher... His classroom wasn't too far from my office, and the teacher came to my office, and the teacher said, "David has crawled under the table, and he won't come out." And we went down there, and we tried to talk to David, and we went into the classroom, and David's under the table, and he's got a death grip on the leg of this table. He's not coming out. What do you do? Well, you could talk until you're blue in the face. Finally, you have to take some action, don't you? And I've told you this story about the young man that was at camp, and he's holding on to the steering wheel because he doesn't want to stay at camp. And his mom says, "I just don't know what to do." And I said, "He's how old?" And she said, she said he was 13. I said, "When he's about 18, can you imagine what he's going to be like if he acts this way when he's 18? And she said, "Yeah, I see what you mean." And we pried him out of that car. I guess that's part of being in the ministry, is prying people out of situations. Amen. God knows how to pry us out of a situation that we want to cling to, and that's what he's doing to Israel, and it's not a pretty sight. It's going to involve some suffering on Israel's part, and it's going to involve some judgment on God's part. And just look at a few things with me in chapter 5, and I'll give you this as an encouragement. Don't get in this situation. Don't get hard-headed with God. You say, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." That's wonderful. Ask God for wisdom.
Amen?
Amen? Does God give wisdom?
Amen.
What does James say? "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." You know, there's no such thing as a stupid question with God. You ask God, "Lord, I don't know what to do." Don't be surprised when you get a good answer. But in this situation here, these people, they are just decided to be wicked. It says in verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. That is hard-headedness. That's not, "We don't know what to do." That's, "We've decided what we're going to do, and we don't care what anybody thinks. We don't care what the prophet thinks. We don't care what God thinks. We're going to do it our way." God can pry you out of that. He can get you out of that, under that table. He can get you out of that car, so to speak. And he will have his will with Israel. Now, in our life, what's that old saying your dad used to tell you? You want to learn things the easy way or the hard way, right? Remember that? And I used to think, it just can't be that simple. Yeah, it's about that simple. You're either going to learn it the easy way or the hard way. You know, when God says to do something and you obey, that's the easy way. When God says to do something and you don't obey, or when God says not to do something and you don't obey, then he has to teach you, and that's the hard way. And the more hard-headed you are, the harder that way is going to be. And that's what happens to Israel. But you know the good thing? And by the way, I've said this 100 times. Don't get tired of hearing this. God did not lose this battle. Let me say that differently. Israel finally came back to God. Amen? And in heaven, We talked about the streets of gold and the gates. God didn't write the names of the tribes of Israel on those places he wrote them in heaven. He didn't write those because they were all cast away. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, God didn't cast away his people Israel. Paul says, God forbid. He didn't throw Israel out and replace him with the church. He worked with them and he brought them back to him. And they're going to look on him whom they have pierced. And I won't get into that again. Okay. So real quick, just a couple of thoughts here. First of all, look at verse 1. He says, "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you." Now, it is the job of the priest and the king to be leaders. There are, each of us have different roles God has given us. As a pastor, it's my responsibility to lead the church. There's a person here in this state called the governor, and it's his responsibility or her responsibility to lead the state. And we have a president and so on. And in this day, there was a king. And the king and the president and the governor ought to lead the people to be righteous. Amen? Amen. Not to be wicked. When they lead the people to be wicked, then they're part of the problem. Now, let's take that a little bit lower. You're here and you're a parent. You have children. Listen up. All of us that have children, it's our job to lead our children to be righteous and not wicked. Do they always cooperate? Israel didn't. Do we give up? God didn't. And we teach our children to behave. Now, here's the problem in verse 1, and I haven't got much time to spend on this, but just think with me for a minute. When you're the king, politics. If you're the president, or I don't know who you are, the governor or whoever, and you want to stay in office, what are you trying to do? You're trying to please a lot of people, right? Yeah. That's the problem with democracy when you leave God out of the picture. You try to please godless people, you have to do godless things. And our government has become a situation like that, where we have a bunch of people that are godless trying to please godless people, and our nation's going downhill because of it. If you are a parent of children, teach them how to be godly. Amen. What does that mean? They should obey. Amen? Right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'm not telling you that's easy. I mean, from experience, I can tell you it's not easy. But it's a task God gave us. You don't give up. Amen? And certainly in verse 1 here, God's unhappy with the king and the priest because there's judgment coming their direction because he says they've been a snare. They have kind of laid a trap, so to speak, rather than leading the people in righteousness. Now, in verse 4, I explained to you already, and I'm not going to be long, the people refuse to turn to God. The reason for that in verse 5 is because they're proud. They have decided that what they're doing is right, and they won't listen to anybody. And because of that, God is going to judge them. And here's where the rubber meets the road in verse 6. Listen to this. This is interesting. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? But what does he say he's going to do? He says, but they shall not find him, for he hath withdrawn himself from them. Now, if they genuinely turn to God, I think God could be found. But what is it when sometimes, and children can do this, little children can be really good at this, is they can be really friendly when they got something they want. And then when they get what they want, they go back to their old ways. Amen? I hope we're not foolish enough to think we can pull that stunt with God. Because, folks, God knows your heart.
That's good.
Amen? And there's a lot of people that do what they do because they want something from God. Hey, if I was to be faithful to church, maybe God would give me some money. Yeah, what a terrible motive. Or if I was faithful to this, maybe God would answer a prayer or whatever. The folks, it should be the other way around. We love the Lord and we trust him and we belong to him. And then because we're his children, he blesses us. When you have children, you like to be a blessing to them. You can see the frustration in God's heart. He would be delighted to bless Israel, but they have insisted on being wicked and they have insisted on being idolatrous. And now because of that, he's going to have to judge them. He's going to have to And this is a horrible illustration, but send them to the principal's office, so to speak. They're going to have to get punished. And the last half of this chapter describes that punishment. Now, I just don't have a lot of time, and it's not something you'd remember anyway, but in the first few verses of this chapter, there's some places mentioned, like Mizpah and Tabor. Later on, there's a place called Gibeah mentioned in verse 8, Ramah, Bethaven, Jerob is the king of Assyria. I think we talked about him before. He's down in the last part in verse 13. But most of these places that God's naming, you say, why is he naming those? Because they're places to where Israel went and practiced idolatry. Now, I'll just finish with this thought. I think it's just about the right size to do so. We got to ask ourselves the question, where do we go for comfort, like we talked about earlier? Where do we go? Where do we go in our life for satisfaction? Where do we go to have our problems solved? Where do we go to have our needs met? Any of those questions that you can't say, I can go to God? Amen? Amen. Now, if you go to God, let's say, for example, you have a financial need or a health need or I just leave those two on the table and we'll go from there. You got a financial need. If you go to God with any need, we understand that two or three things. First of all, we have to wait on him. That's okay. God's timing's pretty good. Amen? Amen. Secondly, we have to do it his way. What if, for example, God said, what if a young person says, Lord, I need direction in my life, and God says, I want you to be a missionary. Well, I didn't want to be a missionary, Lord. I just wanted direction in my life. You see, we can do that where we say, I want God to have his will in my life, but I really want him to have my will in my life. You with me? That's kind of where Israel is. They like the fact that they've got a God, and they like the fact that God could help them as long as they can do it their way. As long as I can have my idols and as long as I can have my plans and my will and so on, then, yeah, that'd be okay if God got involved. But the minute you submit yourself to God, some people turn and walk away. That's what's happened to Israel. They've said, no, we would rather have the idol, because when it's the idol, really, we're in charge. Who's in charge in our life? God. Amen? Well, we say that, but is he? And what I mean by that is, if God told you, I want you to go somewhere, do something, I want you to go without something, I want you to endure something, I'll just brag on him a little bit. People, of all the people I've seen that have suffered, Dan Ball is suffering a lot. And he could very easily, if he let himself, he could grow bitter with God. It's just the opposite. He wants to glorify God. He doesn't understand a lot of things, and none of us do, but he wants to glorify God. And so he's doing the same thing, maybe better than Job did, where Job said, you know, am I just going to receive good things from God, or am I not also going to receive trouble when it comes? And folks, that's submitting to God's will. God's got some things he could do with us if we would just listen to him. But we say to ourselves, I want God's help and I want God's blessing. And for example, you know, we're going to go to him with our flocks and herds in verse 6. But really, it's my agenda. And God says, no, with Israel, we're not going to do that. If it's going to be your agenda, you need to understand something. Your agenda is idolatry. Your agenda is wicked. It's this whoredom and stuff he talks about and sin. And there's going to be judgment. So, and I won't read the last half of the chapter. I'd welcome you to do that. But just this thought, and that is, would we have the wisdom to say to the Lord, not my will, but thine be done, and mean it? Amen? And what if the Lord did not conduct your life the way you thought it ought to be conducted? He knows better, doesn't he? Amen. And sometimes God will take us in some places we never would have gone ourselves, some situations we never would have chosen. so that he can get some glory. And it could be, what if God took our life and took it some way that we never, ever, ever had imagined, and along the way some souls got saved that wouldn't have ever got saved? Amen? What if God took our life, we wanted to go that way, and God took our life in this rocky little twisty curvy road, and we just said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll follow you. Now, it's really easy for me to say those words, but I can tell you, it's hard to live. You have to submit to the Lord. Israel, the reason they're in so much trouble is because quite some time ago they decided, we're calling the shots. We're going to worship the idols. We're going to do what we want to do. We want God's help, but we're not going to submit to his commands. And that's why they're facing this judgment. And interestingly enough, in the next chapter, you can see their heart change a little bit. And when they suffer because the Lord exposes them to this judgment, they come back and they say, wait a minute, maybe we should turn to the Lord. Amen? Well, why not just turn to the Lord now and avoid the punishment? Amen? I don't know. I know in my life, God's constantly convicting me that there's some things he wants me to do and doesn't want me to do. And we can be stubborn, can't we? Amen? We can say, I don't want to do it that way. We can be stubborn. I just want you to know something. God can pry you out from under that table, so to speak. He can get a hold of you. He can put you where he wants you. Why not just go willingly and let him have his will? Let me just read a couple more verses. We just got a couple of minutes really quick. See, in verse 7, they've dealt treacherously. And that's the reason they're suffering the way they are. And so everything else all the way in the chapter is judgment. But then look at verse 15 and we'll be done. And then God says, after all this judgment is described, none shall rescue him at the end of verse 14. Look what he says in verse 15. This is God talking. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Listen to this. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Didn't have to be that way, did it? And think of the unnecessary suffering that a lot of people endure because they just won't listen to God. Is God's will important to you? Amen? It's good for you too. Amen?